It's Tuesday, and welcome to Tiltcast Shorts, the new show that kind of agrees that Expedition 33 is kind of great. I'm Nas.
I'm Rusty. There is no Jason.
Yup. We don't know what happened to Jason. He'll be back, though.
He'll be back next week, I'm sure. That's he's just taking a little bit of a break today. But man, yeah. So Expedition 33, the Game Awards were pretty crazy.
Yeah,
a lot of the initial news sources were calling it not the Game Awards but the Expedition 33 Awards because of just how much Expedition 33 came up in the conversation. You know. Throughout the night. It was crazy.
Do you want to hear something even crazier?
Hmm.
So, right now, there was a concurrent viewers. There are 4.3 million peak concurrent viewers and 16 million hours totally watched over YouTube for the Game Awards.
Yeah, I can believe it. And this is the first year that the Game Awards was actually streamed on Prime. So if you had Amazon Prime, you could watch it there.
Oh yeah, that was just YouTube that I'm talking about. I had heard a stat, and I haven't looked it up, but there was a stat that said that. So last year, right, there was a 154 million live streams. So I feel like there should have been more than this.
It's possible. Those numbers, they jump all around because, you know, like you said, you've got the numbers for one platform and there's a bunch of other platforms that, you know, that we're carrying, especially it was big stuff that it was actually on Amazon Prime that I noticed that.
Oh yeah. Not everybody viewed on YouTube. So there's more platforms showing it. So last year is 154 million and it's projected this year after they get the final tally, it's going to actually surpass last year. So the crazy thing I was getting at is more people watched the Game Awards last year than the freaking Super Bowl.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. There's a lot of, you know, gaming is actually a much bigger medium than, the normal news cycle really gives it, you know, any credit for. There's a lot of, you know, good talent artists and, you know, and a bunch of like it has, you know, just as much, you know, different expertise, but just as much prestige as, you know, something like, you know, the Academy Awards and, you know, and stuff like that. Like, you know, you're putting a lot of, you know, a lot of effort into a artistic vision, really. And I mean, it kind of really goes to show like what really goes into a video game. It's not just sitting, you know, a bunch of people sitting there with Cheeto dust fingers and coding stuff.
Put it in perspective again, like the Oscars this year only got 19.7 million viewers. And I say only, right? Like that's a lot. But versus the Game Awards, it just kind of goes to show you that like people care a lot less about movies than they used to. And gaming, because I really believe it. And I think millennials ruin a lot. But I think that millennials also still play games of some sort. Right? Because we grew up with it being something normal, a little bit nerdy, right? Like when we were in high school, it was kind of nerdy. So maybe you like kind of lowballed how much you gamed. But by the time I was in college, like it was a lot more normal.
I didn't lowball anything, man. I was a gamer through and through. Like,
yeah, I was trying too hard to be the cool kid.
I guess I didn't care. I had whatever I could get, you know, and I was one of those guys that would, you know, would trade carts with people. Like, sure, I may only be able to have like a Atari game or a Nintendo game or something like that, but my buddies, they all had different games and we would just swap carts. So
I did a lot of that too.
Yeah, like, that was the thing. I never really cared to be a jock or anything like that. So I was like, whatever. But That's secondary here. The idea though is that it's, you know, that it's become much bigger, and just seeing what goes into the Game Awards and what comes out of it is nuts. And man, I'll tell you, when you get when a game like Expedition 33 goes into the Game Awards, I mean, before that game released, I didn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't on my radar. I know I played it early, you know, early on. Fair point. I didn't complete it, but that's just because I have ADD. But what we get here is Expedition 33 went through and basically sweeped all of the big categories in the Game Awards, taking home eight awards, nine awards. Was it eight or nine? I want to say it's nine, including Best RPG, Best Score in Music, Best Independent Game, Best Debut Indie Game, Best Game Direction, Narrative, Art Direction, and Best Performance. That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. And of course, it ends up with, you know, on top of that, it picks up the coveted Game of the Year, you know, from the Game Awards, which is just,
I think but like you think about years past, it was definitely a people's choice, right? I think it was last year. I didn't feel this way, but a lot of people wanted Wu Chang to win, right? And what won? Astrobot, a 2D platformer that's, in my mind, like somewhat innovative, fairly generic, right? Which I'm not the only one that was, whose gasp was flabbered, right?
Right.
It's like, what? Astrobot? Right.
Yeah. I was not big. I was not a big fan of Astrobot or the pick for that. But that was just me, and it's not my kind of game.
But to be fair, let's look at like just some of the actual categories we had. So for Best RPG, it was going up against Avowed, which didn't land. Kingdom Come Deliverance. I know there's some people sore about that. I'm still having a hard time playing that. I'm just going to be honest. It's a little more RP than I like. So if you're really into that, then it's pretty cool. But it's not extremely. It's not accessible in any kind of way. It's super hardcore. Monster Hunter Wilds. Mm-hmm. I have mixed feelings on it. I feel like that's more of an action RPG than a true RPG. And then Outer Worlds 2, I would agree that it was better than Outer Worlds 2. So based on their categories, like, does it deserve one? Yes.
That one I can totally understand. That one makes total sense because everything else is good, but had some flaws in its own way. Whereas Expedition 33 really kind of come out of the gate swinging, and it was...
It was just a return to stuff that we liked. Like, the problem with Final Fantasy is they've been using this active battle system forever that's kind of boring and feels like it's soulless and leaves you with very little actual choice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give you room to be very tactical because it tries to, like, blur the line by giving you different positioning options and making you push certain buttons for different active time abilities. But it doesn't – it's not like – Right, and then he set up auto abilities for everybody else, so it kind of feels like the game plays itself at times. And it just, unless it's on really hard, and really hard is depending on how you set up your auto battler, basically, it's not that hard. So it just, I don't know, like the last few Final Fantasy battle systems have like really fell flat for me. And trying a little too hard to innovate on something that maybe doesn't work as well. We just wanted a really good turn-based game, and it's a really good turn-based game.
Yeah, and you know, the addition of like having, you know, like that Final Fantasy VIII, esque, action that you do when you do a move, like being not necessarily the quick time events that was kind of hit and miss, but like the dodging or the parry, in the game making you basically. Still feel part of the combat, even though it's turn-based. It was a nice touch. And I think that made it very much, more approachable from a turn-based perspective. But yeah, I mean, that's not the only
No, I mean, you talk about best score music. I'm going to be honest with you. I know it was pretty good. They had, like, so the categories they had was Christopher Larkin from Hollow Knight. They had Darren Korb from Hades 2. Lorien Testard from Expedition 33, right? Tomo Otwood for Ghost Yotai and Woodkid and Ludwig Fossil for Death Stranding 2. I would say Darren Korb, if it was my pick. Darren Korb is just mint. Every single game from those guys with Darren Korb. Like, I listen to Darren Korb stuff just on streaming, like, all the time. It's a weekly spin of something from Darren Korb, and that's because he's awesome. So, it's Expedition 33 was very classical. So, like, almost, I don't want to say Danny Elfman, right? But, like, it's almost like film score. It's really well done. But for modern music, to me, Darren Korb just, like, kicks it every single time. Like, knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, so the craziest thing about, Testard is, I mean, he kind of picked up the role kind of oddly. I mean, he ended up getting, what was it? There was a, he ended up going from just doing some SoundCloud stuff to heading the helm of a game that made Game of the Year, right? And it's just, it goes to show that, you know, that if you're good at, you know, good at what you do and you can actually get, you know, in on a good project, you can knock it out of the park. And this is, you know, for a relatively unknown, you know, music producer, he did a fantastic job. Like, the music in that game is really awesome. So I mean, I'm all for, you know, him getting, getting a good showing here. Cause I mean, that basically is going to make his, this right here is going to make his career. Right. So.
No, 150%. The,
so, I mean, he got picked up from a, you know, I want to say that he got picked up from, you know, like a talent call on, on either X or something like that. I read something about it and it was just crazy. Like, picked up from a Reddit thread or something like that. And, you know, ends up becoming this guy that, that is just doing fantastic work for this game. So it's awesome.
It's weird too. Like, Expedition 33 is in such a weird spot. Like, is it an independent game? I've been hearing that discussion quite a bit. So, like, what it went against was Absalon, which actually I have and haven't played a lot of. It's a 2D side-scroller beat-em-up with some roguelike mechanics and some RPG mechanics. Then Ball Pit, which is actually really good, kind of hard, also on Game Pass.
I loved it.
I have not finished with Ball Pit. It's hard as hell.
I loved it. It's amazing.
Blue Prince, which I have no idea what it is.
Blue Prince is the it's a puzzle game where you kind of walk through each individual room. It's roguelike, and, you know, in the fact that each, you know, room pull is different.
Okay.
It's it tells a story over the course of, you know, of its thing. But yeah, I couldn't, like, get into it. It's very polarizing.
Well, and then there was, like, Hades 2 and then Hollow Knight, Silksong. And it's weird because these are all they all have a different production level than Expedition 33. Like, Expedition 33 has AAA production with a $10 million budget, right? And a pretty small team. Somehow they pulled that off. Somehow they made a game. I saw somewhere that you could have made 30 Spider-Man 2s for the same price as Expedition 33. Because it was a $300 million game. And then a $10 million game sweeps the Game Awards. And looks similar. Bigger scope, longer game than Spider-Man 2, too. Right? But is this proof that budget doesn't make everything? But in the indie category, it almost feels like it's somewhere between. The quality is not any worse. But, like, just in terms of budget and level of production, it feels like it's a little bit above the indies that were in there. Like
it may, but that's the thing. It comes from a relatively, it's a new studio.
You know, just to interject real quick, one thing that's really crazy about this is Ubisoft wasn't even on the radar. And a big chunk of the guys at Sandfall Interactive are from Ubisoft. This is what happens when you take them out of Ubisoft, the good ones.
Yeah, that's the craziness. But yeah, the thing is this is their first game as a studio, and while they did have a much better production quality, they were able to do that, And like I said, I didn't know that this game was, even existed prior to its release. It kind of like splashed, when it hit.
Yeah, me and you really weren't even hardly talking about this when it came out.
Mm-hmm, right. And then I'm like, I saw a trailer for it and I'm like, oh, this is really interesting, looking, and I'll give this a go. If you put it up against things like Hades 2 and Silksong, I knew those games would come out, and they're sequels. So, yeah, they're independent games, but they've been proven in the past. Blueprints didn't necessarily fall for me. Ball Pit, a good game, but it has its limits. And Absolom, I never really actually touched on, so I can't say for sure. But if I had to pick from that, just being a panelist, of course I'd pick up Expedition 33. It's the strongest of them all.
Yeah, like with all of the sweeps and everything that happened, it's just the competition. Some of the competition is pretty stiff, and then some of it is just like, I don't even know what you guys are thinking. But like it did, I think it was a good year for the Game Awards because it felt like it aligned better with what Gamer's Choice would have been, at least closer to it, right? Like, I'm not one of those guys that's going to gatekeep because a lot of people think something's good, especially if it's actually good. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at some of the tougher categories that Expedition 33 won, like Best Narrative and Best Performance.
Best Performance.
Or even
And
Best Art Direction, honestly. You're looking at, for best narrative, it goes up against Death Stranding 2.
And that game was pretty excellent.
Yotai. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 does actually have a good narrative to it. It tells a good story, right? Death Stranding 2, Kojima is a freaking legend. And, and that was, it blew my mind that he didn't didn't win that, because that's, he tells stories. That is literally what he does.
Yeah, it was. I felt he got snubbed a little bit.
And Ghost of Yotai is a highly anticipated continuation of the Ghost of Tsushima thing. So it's like for a relatively small studio indie title to beat these giants in that category is nuts.
It just goes to show you, like we've been talking about, like I think that AAA for the most part has been missing the mark the last year and a half, 2 years, right? Like they're just not aligning with what people want, right? Putting the features that people want in games. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, if you don't hit what people are looking for in a game, you just ain't gonna get the kind of recognition or sales that's out there. Though, it is crazy that I think they thought they might win one thing, right? But right after they won, on the 33rd week since it released, Expedition 33 released free DLC. Yeah. It comes out. Well, it's already out, right? But it's called the Thank You Update, and it updates, or it adds some new environments, bosses, music, and costumes, and a photo mode as a thank you to fans. So they must have had a premonition that it was going to happen. It was funny watching the Game Awards and you had all the people in the like very stereotypical French striped outfits on the team that were out in the awards, which I thought was hilarious. But they must have had an inkling, or maybe they just held on to it in case they were going to get some awards.
I mean, I think they were probably going to, drop something because they had a feeling like they were going to win something. Yeah, I'm sure, but I don't think they understood that they were going to sweep it this hard, and end up with Game of the Year. I mean, in the same year that some other really great games come out, so. They did a fantastic job, and more power to them. I love to see, indie titles start, taking over the scene here, and maybe these AAA, game developers learn a thing or two.
One would hope. Well, guys, if you want, please find more episodes at tiltcast.com, as well as iTunes and Spotify. The audio versions, also these new shorts are there. And, of course, come back to youtube.com/YouTubeShorts with a Z. I'll see you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Peace.